What's up? This is Nintendo Believers Podcast, episode 15. My name is David Hicks, and we got a little bit of a different episode this week, because I have my two brothers here, and we got Brad.
What's up, guys?
Brad Hicks, by the way, and we got Paul.
I'd hope he'd have the same last name as you, but no, never know.
Paul's name is also Hicks, if you were wondering.
Paul Hicks. Clarification is key.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about three main things. Talk about games we've been playing, some news, we'll do some rumors, and we're going to do a nice little segment at the very end, but we're going to keep it a secret, so stay tuned for that. But we're going to kind of introduce Paul a little bit, and we're going to introduce Brad a little bit more than we did the last time, because we asked Matt Crawdad a little more questions. So, Paul, starting off, what is your favorite game of all time?
I have a really difficulty picking just one, and unlike you guys, I'm not as Nintendo believer-y.
What would you call yourself?
I don't think I have a specific name. I enjoy Nintendo games. I just don't own any new systems for Nintendo. Okay, so I don't really play a lot of them unless you're around or I'm back home with you guys. So I'd say probably my top two games, I don't think I can narrow it down to one, would be Red Dead Redemption and Mass Effect 2.
Okay.
So those would be my favorite. I feel like there's a similar aspect of story. Mass Effect has a little bit more choice, kind of that RPG element. Kind of like Dungeons and Dragons feel of like having more say as to what your character is like throughout the game. And I enjoy that. And I think they're just both really quality games with quality stories, which is one of the few things I think Nintendo lacks in its gameplay. Gameplay is super fun. Sometimes it's a little light on story, and I enjoy a good story in my game.
Sure. That's sure. Okay. Well, what would you say your favorite Nintendo game of all time is? Because you did grow up playing Nintendo.
Did. I still enjoy it. I'd say probably my favorite would be Fire Emblem Radiant Dawn for the Wii.
Good game.
Probably not the best Fire Emblem game out there, but it was my first, and it's the one that I most connected with the characters, which is really key if you're playing a Fire Emblem game. So it's the only Fire Emblem game I've played multiple times.
Yeah, it'll make sense if you're more interested in the storylines of
because
Fire Emblem definitely has more of that, more so than like your Zelda or your Mario or your Pokemon.
Right, and that game is very intricate in the different ways that the different countries come into play, and it's definitely really cool for sure. So we're going to actually go and talk about the three games. That we would, if we only could play three games for the rest of our lives, what they would be. And Brad, I'm going to actually have you answer this.
Okay, so I'm going first. If I can only play three games for the rest of my life, the first one is easy, and it was super easy for me, I think, is Super Smash Bros. Melee for the Nintendo GameCube.
I mean, when you come home and you say, "Hey, David, what do you want to do?" And I'm literally like, "Play Smash?" Like,
yes, that's what I want to do. Second game, I would say Mario Kart 8 Deluxe for the Switch. And then the third game, it was hard for me to think of this, but then I think the game that I would want to play is Super Mario Maker. So probably the new one when they come out with the second one on the Switch would probably take over this spot. But obviously for the Wii U, Super Mario Maker.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sort of three good games.
Solid games. Paul, what about you?
My games are a little bit different. Might be seeming a little bit out of left field.
That's all right.
First one, I'll just keep up with favorite games. I think Mass Effect 2 probably has a little bit more replayability than Red Dead Redemption does. But they're both great games. So I'm going to pick Mass Effect 2 as my first three games. Next one was the first one I completely... this is definitely going to be in my top three, and you guys will enjoy it, but I don't think you'll think of it prior. And that is Star Wars Battlefront 2 for the PlayStation 2.
Okay, no, that's a solid one.
Super fun, especially if you're playing with friends. It's got something to it that the newer Battlefront games just couldn't quite recapture.
Right.
And so that's just a really top game. And then my third one would definitely be Fire Emblem Radiant Dawn. It's such a long game. There's so much going on. And it's super long if you're playing on normal or easy. And there's so much difference if you up the difficulty level.
Yeah,
So that changes stuff a lot. It's also fun trying to go through the game with characters that you didn't use as much in previous games. And, you know, seeing how strong some of the weaker players can be later in the game.
Right.
Or picking players that aren't considered to be necessarily your top tier fighters throughout the game.
Right, especially if you get to the end game where you actually get to choose who is on what specific team, like to you could up the ante with difficulty by just picking not the best people in a specific team.
Yes. So I think those games all have a lot of replayability, and then also having that multiplayer aspect from Battlefront 2 would kind of round it out for me.
Right. You know, and I have actually never answered this question, so I'm going to give some input for me as well. I would agree with Brad, Super Smash Bros. Melee is a great game, but I would probably put Smash 4 in there just because of I do love playing 8-player Smash with a bunch of guys from Bible study but still you do the 4-player, you can do like 1v1, which I really like the ability to really party.
Are you sure you're not wanting 64? Because that's the one game I can hang with you guys in. I'll just throw you off with my grab.
We could still play Smash 4, and if that's the only game we could play, like we could share games, right?
Okay.
If we were in a world together, hopefully. I probably would pick Stardew Valley on the Switch, which I love that game. They're gonna have multiplayer coming in here soon, hopefully, and it just seems like it'd be so much fun to play with a bunch of people. And then,
somewhat side note, what do you think multiplayer would look like in a Stardew Valley game?
Well, so they've actually kind of clarified this, where you have the main person who started the game, and then you have other people that connect via LAN play. So like you can, it's local, and so you can build a cabin, up to 3 cabins in your like little place, and so that person can come and be on their I'm thinking about the Switch. They can be on their own Switch, and they can go anywhere on the map, but like you all share the same currency. I think you can all have different different storage, like you have your own
backpacks.
I can't think of it. Yeah, backpacks. Thank you. You share the same currency, and everything. Like when the main person goes to bed, the day is over. So main person has most control, but everyone else can do their own thing.
I think that totally ups the ante in that game, especially for having friends around.
Oh, I think it'd be so fun just to be like hanging out, just going fishing with like 3 guys and just talking and playing Stardew. I think that'd be a good time, but.
Or you could do that in real life.
right, you could, but you wouldn't be getting that like money like that. And sometimes when you're on a boat and you don't have a good rest, like your back gets kind of tired, it's nice to just kind of lay back in a nice couch.
All right, what's your third game?
Third game, no, I got all sidetracked here, I gotta remember. My third game was Breath of the Wild. I think it was probably something else, but I completely forgot. Breath of the Wild is going to be my answer this time. But that is my favorite game, right behind Mario Odyssey. But Mario Odyssey, I can't see myself really replaying that. Like I did do a speed run of it, but I would not want to continue to play it. But Breath of the Wild has so much in it. I have not beat it all. There's so much DLC. I could just play that over and over again. And there has a lot of cool like speed run capabilities and just going and fight Ganon right away. So it would just be really fun just to play that game. And and I love Zelda, and there's no way I could never play Zelda for my entire life. So that's my answer for that. But yeah, guys, it's so good having you here.
It's great to be here.
Sure but we're going to start with games we've been playing. And Paul, what have you been playing? You've been playing a really cool game that just
came out physical
on Switch, and I'm pretty sure everywhere else.
Switch and PlayStation 4, the two that comes physical.
Okay, cool.
Yes, I just recently played and beat Owlboy. I 100%ed it, which is probably one of the first games I've ever 100%ed. It is a game I absolutely love. The art style just connected with me instantly. It's pixel art, but it's like high def pixel art. There's so much to it, and it doesn't feel like you're playing an old style of game because of how crisp all the pixels are. Mm-hmm. I love how you can cycle between carrying your different teammates, which then alters which weapon that you can use. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really cool mechanic. And it's also really cool how instead of having, you know, a side-scrolling type of a pixel art game where you're kind of, you know, going through the level, it's much more vertical.
Sure.
I feel like it allows for the maze to be more intricate and feel more realized as a world instead of just being really flat.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought it was really cool how when you're going through each individual temple, for lack of a better word, or dungeon, it's probably more accurate, you're going through them and it feels like a really big maze and it does not feel connected. It's this long loop. But later in the game, you can come back with your different abilities, mm-hmm. and there's different ways it's set up where you can easily traverse in a much quicker time to get through it. And I thought that was really cool how the level design was. I thought that was really, really well done. Yeah.
So you kind of come through feeling more powerful, feeling more prepared to take through certain, like...
To a degree, the one I'm thinking of mostly is there's a waterfall that goes down the middle of this whole dungeon, and you can't fly when you're going through the waterfall. So when you first are going through the level, you have to weave through it all the way up, kind of like a, you know, like a centipede game. You're going back and forth all the way up. But then at the after you finish it, if you come back, the waterfall is not falling anymore. So you could just go right to the center column and take it straight to the top. But it definitely does make you feel more powerful in the sense of like your coin collectibles that you can go to the shop and you can buy upgrades for your guns, upgrades for your health, which I think the health upgrades are probably the best.
Right.
I really enjoyed the game. I have two minor drawbacks for it, just so you're aware if you haven't played the game yet. If you haven't played, I would definitely suggest going out and getting it, especially now that it's on physical. But the first one, which is a plus and a minus, is that if you die, you don't really lose anything. Mm-hmm. It's you're fighting a boss, you lose the boss battle, you start at the beginning of the boss battle. So it's intense, gets intense, but at the same time, you're like, if I don't make it this time, it's not like I have to start the whole level over again. Which is also really nice, because you don't have to rage quit when you die and have to do the entire level over again.
Sure.
But I feel like it would benefit from having some difficulty levels that you could put into place so that it would have more replay value.
Sure.
And that was my other one. The replay story-wise is definitely there, but there's not a whole lot of different like modes or like challenges that you necessarily could do. It would really benefit from having like, you know, a boss like tournament mode where you just fight the bosses back to back to back,
right,
or something along those lines to kind of add some extra challenges at the end of the game that you could kind of play or unlock as the game went on.
Yeah, I see that. Cool. I definitely want to give it a try.
Had it for a while. I'm sitting on my computer. I just haven't started playing it.
Right. Have you been playing any games lately, Brad?
Yeah, so something that Paul and I have played a little bit together. We've played some Fortnite, which has been fun. I could proudly say that I've won 3 matches.
I'm crap.
Never with Paul when I was by myself. But
I'm okay in a team. I suck when I'm by myself.
But so that's been fun, just playing with people. And then my roommate downloaded it and stuff. So it's just a fun game to play. Even if we're not playing on the same playing at the same time, but we're both playing individual maps and stuff. So that's something I've been playing. The other game that I've been playing a lot of is Pokemon Go. Obviously downloaded it when it first came out, played it a little bit. But I live in Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh is like a really awesome city to play Pokemon Go in, which has been really fun. My roommate was playing it, and I was like in the car with him, and I was like, wow, I'm just going to download it right now. And ended up downloading it, and so for a while I didn't have a car, so I was on the bus like playing Pokemon Go when I was going to work and stuff, and that's been really fun. I've really enjoyed playing it, and it's interesting because I've never played a Pokemon game before Pokemon Go. That was my very first Pokemon game I ever played, so I have very little knowledge about Pokemon or what they're called or how they evolve. Obviously they evolve, but like who they're going to evolve to, I have no idea. Right. And so that was kind of cool. Just as I'm learning all these things about Pokemon, as I'm playing Pokemon Go, it's making me want to like go back to the original games and actually play each different generation.
Right.
And so that's a cool game that I've been playing lately.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really cool. I've started playing a game I've been doing a Let's Play on for YouTube, for my channel, for the Nintendo Believer channel. And the game is Celeste, and and I have absolutely fell in love with this game. I think that they go in a different route in the story and kind of go to some kind of deeper things in actual life. They go into some depression aspects of life and in a very unique way, and they kind of bring some gameplay along with the story. So like there are times when the main girl, I don't actually know her name. I changed her name to Nana.
It's Celeste.
Is her name Celeste? I named her Nana because I was
ice climbers.
Perfect. Yeah, like she's gonna be like climbing this mountain. She's gonna be an ice climber. But so there's one point in the game where like you meet your other side, her evil side, and I haven't gone through all of it, so I don't really know exactly what's gonna happen. But there's like her evil side starts to chase her. So you're like running away from this evil part of you, and there's times when it like says mean things to certain characters and they get really upset and they start chasing you, and like it's like this evil side of her is like really destroying her life to an extent, and she's trying to do this thing and she's like beating her down, like talking bad about her, and it was just a cool cool way of putting story into a game. And I think the gameplay is super fun. There's you pretty much got to go from like point A to point B, like on the bottom part of the map, to the sometimes you have to go to the like far right, or to like you have to go straight up, and you'll find yourself in a new portion of like it's almost like a square portion of a map. And once you get like past a portion, if you die, you go right back to the beginning of that little part on the screen that you have. And obviously there are parts that are longer than that and can be frustrating if you die for a longer span of trying to get through the level. But it's a very hard game, but it's very forgiving, and that because of that, because once you die you just go straight back to where you were. Kind of just saves your progress as you go along, and if you had to do all of it at one time, it would be impossible. But since you have that ability, you know, it becomes a lot more
I've not
fun.
Played, but based on, I watched some of your gameplay and it looks, it probably doesn't feel like this, but it looks very similar to like Super Meat Boy.
I played a little bit, like I played the mobile version of Super Meat Boy, and it's very similar to that, where you have this little task to do, and then
you die and you start over.
Yeah, and you start over. Right. I think I died first time I played like 200 times. Celeste. Yeah. Okay. And it's really cool because you can find these little collectibles, and they're like little cassette tapes called B-side, and so you play the whole level, the whole like world again, but it's way harder. And I died like 3 times more, like 600 times in that version, and those are super fun. But it's really cool to have a super hard game but have it still be forgiving, and it kind of holds your hand in a very fun way.
Yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, so we're gonna jump into some news here. I want to say to apologize to everybody. We're not, Quinn and Chase aren't here, obviously, and a lot of that's because Quinn's moving, so we don't have our studio anymore. So we've kind of just been chickens with our heads cut off, so we're gonna hopefully start up with Quinn and Chase coming up here soon. But we're taking a little bit of a break. But we're glad to be here with the Hicks Bros. And so we missed some news in the last couple of weeks, and one of the big things is Nintendo Online was announced, and I'm going to talk about some main features here, and then we'll jump into some impressions of the whole thing. So we got the regular online multiplayer with like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Splatoon 2, ARMS. You have the ability to play a library of Nintendo Entertainment System games, and there will be there will be a capability of cloud storage for save dates. So pretty much that you can be on your Switch and switch to another one and still be able to switch your save files from one Switch to the other. So that if something happens to your Switch, hopefully that means that you can keep it somewhere else. I don't know exactly how that's going to work. We haven't got a whole lot of information on all of this, but I'm going to jump into some of the NES games. which these games come with enhancements over the original releases. Each one will support some sort of online multiplayer, including the ability to play cooperatively or competitively with friends. Some NES games will simply let Switch owners share their screen with someone else or let them pass the controller back and forth. It depends on the game. So I've heard this explained as you can be online and both be playing a NES game together and just kind of give each other like the power to move. I don't know exactly how that works. I heard that on NVC that's possible. I don't know really why you would want to do that more than just being in the same room and just passing the controller. But I mean, right. I guess if
I live in Pittsburgh and you live in, right, you know, Battle Creek,
and we want to play a game together, that would be kind of cool. Just to, it'd be better if they had like headsets that we could, you know, do voice chat in. But so I guess that's kind of a cool feature, and hopefully there's other enhancements to games that, like, I can't remember. We're gonna go, hopefully I have the actual NES games here. I don't know if I do. But going into cloud storage, there remains no other free offline option to back up save data from the system's internal storage. So that kind of stinks that you have to most likely you have to get the subscription to get this the storage here, which I'm not a huge fan of. But and then the payment plan, you have for a year you can pay $20, for 1 month $4, 3 months $8, and there's also a family membership program that's $35, and you can link up to 7 people, up to 8 people, because the first person, you know, pays the $35, and they can have 7 people come and join you after that. So, oh, we got the NES games. So we got soccer, tennis, Donkey Kong, Mario Bros., Super Mario Bros., Balloon Fight, Ice Climbers, Dr. Mario, and The Legend of Zelda, Super Mario Bros. 3. So, pretty cool lineup. I was going to say, I remember seeing the Ice Climbers before. Hopefully, they could do some enhancements to the actual gameplay. That would be kind of cool.
And those are the only 10 that have been released. There's still 10 more that are going to come out that are not confirmed yet.
Yes, so that'll be cool. I mean, what do you guys feel about this? Let's start with just straight up the NES game part of it. What do you guys feel about that?
Yeah, to be honest, that doesn't intrigue me at all. I don't really, like, there are some good games on the NES, but they're not the games that I'm going to want to, like, either I'm already have those games. They had the NES Classic. These are games that are already there, yeah, it's not something that intrigues me very much to play the NES games on Switch.
Right.
It's cool they're there, but the fact that it's a subscription and it's kind of like, oh, you can play these games right now. We don't have no idea if you're going to be able to continue playing them if the subscription like changes. If it's going to be like 20 other different games and these 20 you no longer have access to.
Right, and Nintendo will definitely have to explain more about what the subscription will mean for the games. If you download it once, if you keep it forever, if you have the subscription, or I don't know. Right. That would be good to know for sure. How about you, Paul?
I would agree that this is not really my cup of tea. I feel it's weird to include it with just the strict online service. I feel like this should be an additional package that you should be able to buy these games in a bundle like this. I mean, the NES Classic, it was super hard to get your hands on it. There's so many people that wanted it that just couldn't buy it
because Nintendo didn't make enough. June.
And so I don't know why you'd want to have the NES Classic when you could just have essentially all of that data sent onto your Switch. If you could buy it, Nintendo wouldn't have to make any physical copies. They could sell it for the same price or even a little bit more because you'd have it on your Switch. And that would make, I think, customers significantly happier than just having it, you know, having to go out and try to be able to get your hands on a NES Classic. Right.
Yeah.
And so, I feel like it's something people want, and there's definitely a market for it, but I don't know why you would include it necessarily with your base, like, online service.
Yeah. I've always wondered, like, if they would do something like this because they don't. Because there's a lot of people that are just like, okay, I've already bought these games like so many times, and it's like Nintendo, please let us just have these games for free. If Nintendo's like, you know, how can we still make money and give these games to them? Like, I don't know if that's something they thought about because they know people really want that. I mean, we talked about that on this channel on this podcast a lot.
So the big question with that then becomes: are these games permanently on your system, or is it a, you know, like Netflix? When the games are there, you can play them. The movies are there, you can watch them. But as soon as they're gone, they're gone.
Right.
So
Well, I would imagine you can do offline play. I mean, what if you download a game and then just never get online again? Can you keep it forever? Like, that's something that, I mean, I don't know if they can really do anything about, you know? But
yeah.
It just needs to be more clear from Nintendo what the whole purpose of this specific
service is. And I would also ask, like, do you guys know how much it costs to just do online for Xbox Live or for PlayStation Plus? Or
it's like 50 or 60 bucks a year.
So, my question is it worth $20 just to get online play? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you not only do you will you have the capability of playing online, hopefully it enhances online play, but you also can play 20 games. Like, I feel like that is kind of cool. Yeah. Is it worth just playing online, and then how much more value does it add to?
I think that there's a lot more value in playing online for me personally. And I think it's a price point that I'm like, I'd be willing or more willing to like be like, yeah, I can spend $20 for the entire year. Like, that's not that expensive. No. If it was, you know, $20 a month, I'd be like, what the heck's going on here? But
right.
It's $20 for the whole year. Yeah. So like that seems very reasonable. Especially because a lot of the features that you'd want on online, they're not there.
Right.
Like, you don't have, you can't, you have to use the app if you want to talk to somebody.
Right.
Like, you don't have the microphone and all that stuff that you can use.
Because of the how the Switch was made, it does not have the capabilities of really...
Right.
Which was a huge oversight.
Right.
But I don't really know. I think that having online stuff for $20 a month is not, like, at all, like, too much. I think it's actually a pretty good price point that it would be intriguing for me to actually, like, oh, am I actually going to get the online stuff? Even if I'm not using it that often.
Right.
Like, $20 for the year is not bad.
My concern is that Nintendo doesn't have a long or even great track record of online play.
Sure.
PlayStation had their PlayStation Network free while they were getting the kinks ironed out of it. It wasn't like, hey, we're going in, you know, guns a-blazing, you're going to charge you $60.
Well, technically, we've had free online for about a year so far. It's September is when it actually comes out.
But it's not a full ironed out, like, straight through the system. You have to have the app, and it's just, it feels clunky to me.
Right. And
so that's my concern, is with the price point, which I think they can't go to full price point because it doesn't have all the same things that, you know, Xbox One and PlayStation 4 has with their online play. So I think if you had a higher price point, you would really anger your customers because you're not getting what you're paying for. So part of me worries that they're tossing this extra games in to make people less angry for all the bugs and glitches that are going to be coming along
and that could be
with the online.
Yeah. So let's just say for a second that, like, not only do we get these 20 games, but next month we get 10 more SNES games. Next month we get 10 more, and maybe some go away. That's it. Maybe some go away. But if you download it, you can keep it forever if you're on subscription. And they just kind of go away for a little bit. Maybe they still have a chance of coming back. And each month you get different, like, newer games. Maybe you even get some GameCube games. Like, would that be something that would make you guys be like, okay, like, this is awesome. Like, I'm 100% in.
So like, I would. This is something that was just running through my head. Like, if you have your 20 games and you're like, Nintendo's like, you can choose out of these 20 games, two of them that you can keep forever, and the other ones are gonna rotate on the cycle or whatever. And every whatever 3 months that you're on the system, you can keep two games forever.
So like maybe you could have like two coins a month, and you could keep two of the games.
Or you could pay for coins.
The two coins would allow you to download the game, and if you uninstall the game, your coin comes back
that
into
could
play.
Be cool. Yeah.
So like, I think that you could do something like that. If they started, and they're gonna bring other games from different systems in. I think that also is gonna the more recent games. Like for me, I'm like GameCube is like my. Like, oh, I love GameCube and N64. There's a lot of, like, games there that I'm like, oh, I'd love to play those games. Rather than, like, NES and SNES. I'm not as excited about those because I didn't play those when I was little.
But you could play it for free.
I could play it for free.
$20.
the style of game is so different than the style of game on
S64. That is the cool thing, though, is you might find a game that's like, oh, okay, I don't really want to play Super Mario 3. It's not one of the greatest games ever. But, like, you could just be like, oh, you know what? I have this subscription. I can try it out. I mean, you might hate it. You don't have to pay the, what it usually is, maybe like $6 or something like that. But you might pay $6 and be like, man, I really wish I didn't do this, but you can just try to try it out and then see if you like it or not. You might not. And then you just
something like that sounds super awesome to me. But if that is what Nintendo's going for, I feel like this $20 price point is not going to stick around long. Especially if they're going into 64 and GameCube games. There's a big market for...
But that's not... Nintendo's getting none of that money. The resale value on Nintendo 64 games and...
There's a big market for remastered games right now. Remastered games has been, I feel like, the craze for the last, you know, couple of years. And Nintendo has not done a ton of 64 or GameCube remastered games.
Right.
And I feel like that's one of the areas where there's a lot of people who would be really interested in that. And there's a big market for Nintendo in that area. And if you just take that market away and say, oh, I don't need to go out and buy this remastered game. I can just get this on my subscription. I feel like they could do that. But they're going to, if it's successful and that's what they're going for, I feel like that $20 price point is going to stick around as a trial period until it really takes off.
And here's what I think they're going to do instead of that. The games that they're going to remaster, the games that they would actually consider remastering, they're going to do that, and they're not going to be on the subscription part.
Right, yeah.
It'll be like, okay, we're
going
to remaster.
It'll be a $60 game for Switch, right? Yeah, just because exactly. That's not going away. We're going to still get those games.
Those games just won't be on the online service, right. And they'll be like the other games that are less... knowing that it's not going to actually bring in a lot of money if they do remaster it. It's just like a nostalgia game that people really enjoy playing and stuff like that.
And I did hear this point, and I wonder if how true it is. I did not buy a single Virtual Console game. By the way, Virtual Console is no more. Just the name. We don't know if it's going to come back. But I did not buy a single Virtual Console game on my Wii U. I actually did a lot of Club Nintendo. I just used it for games. But, so, like, they did not get any money from me from buying Virtual Console games, because, like, I'll just play it on the different systems that I have. Cool. You know? I really don't have a desire, and the emulator wasn't that great on the Wii U. But, so I actually am going to be giving them $20. So, they didn't have $20 from me before, but now I'm giving them $20, and everybody that is going to be using the subscription is giving them $20. Not everybody would be paying $20 for games, you know what I mean? Like, so I wonder if they're actually going to be making more money on a greater scale because everybody is going to be paying $20. There might be one of those people, some of those people that buy every single one of the games, but I wonder where the take is from the actual money being made there.
Mm-hmm.
But, and what do you guys feel about the, it's 35,
Computer's going crazy.
Computer's going crazy. So, what do you guys feel about the $35 for family plan?
To be honest, I just have no idea what that really means. If David downloads it pays the family subscription, and then I'm one of the people who are using that family plan. Like, am I using his name now on my Wii U? Am I using mine? Like, do you get drawbacks? If there's not any like. Oh, you're not allowed. You can only download it on one of your systems. That could be what they end up doing. They're like, oh, you're only going to get those two coins, whatever that we just made
from those eight people, right?
Yeah. So you only get two coins, and then only the one person is going to be able to download it onto their.
But everyone else can play online.
But everybody can play online. If it's like that, that's still I think that's great. Unless you know those games are really awesome,
which would be really cool if
that actually makes a lot of sense if they did it like that.
Right. that makes a whole bunch of sense, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. But if you actually have it for a family, like let's say like all seven of us, you know, we have a family of seven. Let's say every one of us had a Switch. That would be great. Because we're not gonna want, especially when we're younger, we did not have money to just throw at things. Pay like $35. And everyone can still play online, even though we didn't have internet. And
there's no way we'd be able to afford seven Switches.
But everyone could play online, like we could all play a certain game on somebody's Switch. You know, that would be cool. But the thing where it sucks, if we were all on the same planet, if you ever got a Switch, Paul, like we would all be able to play online, but only one of us would be able to get those games. That would really suck. But so it would be really cool if you actually, let's say everyone gets two coins regardless in this family plan, I don't see that really happening, but
I feel like that could happen.
But that
makes no business sense, because if you just have one friend, it's a better deal to say, hey, you know, we'll figure it out. Give me $10 at the end of the month. You know.
Seems a little too good to be true.
See, I think that where they'd be limited is more on, they're going to limit the games that you can play, download onto your Switch and stuff like that. That's what's going to be limited in the family plan. It might be like, oh, okay, this game can only be downloaded onto one person's Switch, or whatever. So maybe person A has, you know, Super Mario 3, and person B has, you know, the Zelda game or whatever.
Right.
And that would make sense to me. Or if there's only, if there is going to be like some kind of retained value with these games, that might just be to one person and right. rather than everybody. And I think that would make, I would be interested, because the thing that I'm most interested in with this is being able to actually play online with people. That's, so I would be like, I'd be okay with that personally, but some other people might really want to have those access to those games, and so they're going to buy the individual.
That'd be my question for you guys. You think Nintendo is thinking that more people are going to be doing this for the access to the online play or for the access to the games? Because it's presented as an online platform to be able to play these games, but if you're just allowed to do that and then it limits your download games, it makes it seem like Nintendo's really banking on the Netflix-esque qualities of the service as opposed to the actual let's get together online. What are you guys thinking about that?
So I don't actually picture online being that great. I do not have high expectations for Nintendo to do it right. They are jumping into this kind of like they've always been behind everyone else. So I'm not really looking forward to the online. I'm looking way more forward to being able to play Super Mario 3 for the first time on my Switch. Just to play it everywhere. Like I think I just want to play virtual console games in general. So I think that's why I'm probably would more willing to jump in, because it's $20 to pay to play like all these games. And a promise. I can't remember if there is a promise, but for the idea that they could be putting more games up on the subscription. Hopefully that's a thing. I think it is a thing. I think we should make sure that is a thing. But if there is a promise, that's totally why I would be playing it.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah, it's cool that we got some more information on it. Hopefully we'll get some more in the near future. But let's talk about a game that was just announced. I think it was maybe a couple days ago.
Plural.
What? Games, that's true. Games is... So we got Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee.
Eevee.
You hate the way that sounds, don't you?
I kind of grown on me.
You were complaining about it earlier, but...
Okay, let's get this out of the way. Team Pikachu or Team Eevee?
To be honest, I think everybody's going to buy the Pikachu version, so I'd get the other one.
Honestly, I am more of a Pikachu.
Not conformist, you.
Yeah. And Eevee is such cool. Like,
I love that has this different evolutions
evolves
for.
Into so many different.
That's tough. Pokemon. Pikachu is just Pokemon.
Yeah.
Pikachu is Pokemon.
Yep.
And so I feel like it's hard, but I think you're. Eevee is just a cool.
She's so cute.
Like, I mean, she's a face of Pokemon, but not the face of Pokemon. Right. So I typically am an underdog guy, so I'm slightly leaning more towards Eevee, but...
Wow, two Eevees and one Pikachu. Did you even say that?
I'm definitely Pikachu.
Yeah, I knew that.
Pika, Pika for life. So, what'd you guys think?
It's Gen 1. So
Gen 1, yeah.
That's my favorite, so...
Right. I mean,
you're not a huge Pokemon guy, Brad, but other than Go, which is mostly Gen 1, so...
You don't know. Pokemon Go has through the three generations, Paul.
Right.
Well, that shows you how up-to-date I am in Pokemon Go, because I was down and out real quick.
So what were you guys' thoughts on the trailer in general?
To be honest, it showed up on my Facebook news feed, and I thought I was watching a Pokemon Go commercial. And I was like, this is stupid. Why is there a Pokemon Go? This is old. And I was like, oh, crap, this is the new Switch game. And
there is going to be a different Gen 8,
yeah,
right?
Gen 8, yep.
That is going to be coming out in 2019.
Yep.
But so this is a game for this year in November, right?
Yeah,
it's coming up quick.
That is quick.
Once I realized it was current and for the Switch and not just a mobile game, I was super intrigued. I feel like Nintendo's advertising after the Wii U, which was abysmal, their marketing, Has been really on point.
And I think that you give this credit straight to Pokemon Company, because I think this was really well done. They knew people love Pokemon Go. It's still big, and they've created a game pretty much coincide with it to play on your Switch. I don't know if it's going to. I can't picture it being as big.
Honestly,
as
here's
Pokemon
this
Go,
is interesting
but.
Because I have a friend who played Pokemon Go when it first came out, saw the commercial for this new game. New games, sorry. and immediately re-downloaded it and started playing again.
Yeah, almost got me going, except my phone sucks and my battery died about 4 seconds. So that's right. Probably not the best idea for me. But
it was great because I was like, oh, I have multiple Ho-Ohs. And he's like, what? How did you get all these stuff? Oh, I have a shiny Charizard. And he's like, well, how long have you been playing this game? Not that long.
Well, and that's the cool thing for me, too. I have had it downloaded forever just to have a cool little app on my phone. And I started playing again. It's cool to think that I'm going to be able to, I could play a game on my Switch and they could coincide with my phone. Like,
I thought really cool. It was reminiscent to me of the original announcement for the Switch with that like click, click, where it switches between the different functions of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I love that marketing aspect of it. I think that's beautiful.
Yep.
And it's just so cool. Like, it shows you, it's like, oh wow, this is really cool. I'm getting in, and then all of a sudden it cuts to, wow, this is really cool too.
Right.
And then there's even within that you have different things that you're noticing when they're playing the game. I think for me, one of the things I'm most looking forward to is this game has gotten rid of random encounters.
Yeah.
For at least somewhat. They could still be a part of the game, but I love being able to see where the Pokemon and what Pokemon you would be fighting.
You know, the worst part of the game for me, like the reason that it's hard for me to come back is, I've done so much grinding in Pokemon. Like, and I know, and Pokemon fans have done way more than I have. But I, like, you just to go into a patch, like looking for the
that
good
perfect
old
perfect IV.
Yeah, like for the good old Pikachu, and I can't find them. I keep finding a stupid Zigzag Zagoon or whatever. Like, they're the stupidest Pokemons ever. And it's like, I don't want to find
Zigzagoon is pretty cute in Pokemon Go, I must say. First time I saw them, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so cute. And I'm like, why are there 500 of them everywhere? It sucks.
Well, right. And
rat-a-tap to attack.
Like, and I'm sure they're going to still have it be, find a certain way to make it so, like, it's rare for you to find. You know, I hope that it's rare to find, like, the legendary birds, you know, like, I hope that they're just not 5 million of them, but, like, you're like, oh my gosh, I gotta go find this Pokemon over here, and it's, like, running away from you, and you gotta, like, chase after that. I think that'd be kind of fun. Like,
that's what's fun about Pokemon Go. Right. You look on your phone, you're like, oh my gosh, there's a Dragonite, like, 2 blocks away from me? I'm going right now!
Right. No, I would like to see how they integrate that into the game, because I'm not a huge fan of random encounters. I still very much enjoy the first run of a game, just kind of going through. I just don't want to spend that much time finding the Pokemon that I love. Once I find them, it's like, oh, it's a great feeling, but I don't have that much time that I used to.
Granted, that might ruin Nuzlocking it on this game. I can only catch the first Pokemon on this route. I will zigzag around all these crappy Pokemon and go right for the best in this area.
Right.
So, hopefully there's some difficulty levels, or potentially even turning on and off the random encounters. That would be really cool.
Yeah, because that it could be something for sure.
What were your guys' thoughts on the Pokeball controller?
I want to get one.
I just want to put one on my shelf.
But I can use it for Pokemon Go. Like, it's a Pokemon Pokemon Go Plus, like, thing. So I can, instead of having to have my phone on and my pocket upside down on battery saver mode, like, I can use that, and you walk around with that, and like I can hatch my eggs and stuff like that, instead of having to have my phone open.
Only has 3 hours of battery life, though. That's kind of poopy.
Oh.
Buy 6 of them.
Right.
But it's easy. I mean, you could get I'm sure there's a charger thing you could just have on it.
I don't know why that was just. I could put more battery life on it, but no, I'm definitely. Would be excited to get something like that. I've heard that you can actually feel the Pokemon, and it's not a seller for me, but it's like,
it feels just like Pikachu that I've already held before.
No,
in
just,
my life.
Just Tamagotchi all over again.
I just feel like it'd be kind of cool to be like,
Pikachu
died.
Didn't feed him.
That'd be horrible. No, I've also heard that there's some kind, like, because you can play it on the Switch, so there's like, because you could play the whole game with just your Joy-Con. But I've heard you can also play with just the Pokeball. So there's like a joystick.
Yeah,
on
like
the
front little button.
That is a joystick. That would
clip closed on a Pokeball.
It's not like you need a whole bunch of different buttons to play Pokemon.
Right.
No. It's A, move around,
start.
And there's got to be, and I hope that they and like also put a wrist strap on that thing. Because I just
would definitely throw that in my TV.
Here's what you do. You actually throw it when you're playing, and it just stays on your wrist.
That'd be so fun. That would be a good time. But, and then also multiplayer. Would you guys be interested in the multiplayer of this game?
It could be... like Stardew Valley, like we talked about earlier.
I don't think so. I don't think it would be like
do you that. Know, I feel like the multiplayer would be really, really fun if you had different sets of Pokemon.
Instead of
combining...
I feel like you would.
Hey, this is our six. You know, usually you have your six Pokemon that you're going through the whole... If you had player one with their six Pokemon and player two with a different six. Yeah. And if player two wasn't playing, player one would not have...
I don't think that will happen. I think that will be one team.
That's what I'm assuming is going to be the case. I would be excited for it if it was two separate teams that you had.
That would be cool.
It basically then just becomes you have a double fight in any other Pokemon game, except for you only have control of one of the Pokemons.
Yeah.
And those battles are okay. I think they're probably some of my least favorite fights in the Pokemon games I've played.
The only Pokemon battles that I've been a part of are on Super Smash Bros. And Pokemon Go, so I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I just replayed Fire Red, finished it like last week, and I just feel like it's annoying when you're going into a team battle, a double Pokemon battle, especially when you aren't. I'm not like a super expert in Pokemon, so I know a lot of people are just have played it so many times and oh, this is going to be a super double Pokemon battle, and so you have to prearrange your Pokemon to make sure you have the right two Pokemon out that you want. Sucks when you're like, oh crap, this guy's almost dead. I'm going to toss him in my bag, you know, and then all of a sudden you go to a double Pokemon fight and they pull him out and you're just like, crap, I didn't want to fight with him. And so, it's not a bad mechanic. It's just one that I was mildly annoyed with at times. And so I feel like adding another person to it is just like, I'm picturing an older brother with a little sibling who's just like, I want to play with you. I want to play with you. And you're like, here, you just walk with this guy. You'll be Tails. We're playing Sonic on one player and pretend like you're moving him around.
Good job, Paul. You got there. Push the button.
So this would be slightly more involved, which is not a bad thing. Something that you can get, you know, two kids who are playing the game involved together. But I just don't feel like it's something if you're playing with two adults or two big Pokemon fans, you're never going
to
want to play.
No, it would be a really cool way to, like, hey, son, come play Pokemon game with me. And you can walk them through it instead of... Yeah, I think that would be cool. If we did not have the promise for another Pokemon game in 2019, I would be
hugely disappointed.
I would be very disappointed with this. Just because, like, I think Pokemon Go is awesome just for the fact of how much attention it got and how it just kind of brought everyone back into... like more of a Nintendo, even though it was Niantic and Pokemon Company, they still brought them more of a Nintendo mindset, just in the media and just in general.
Yeah, let's be honest, if you're not hardcore into gaming, you wouldn't even realize that it wasn't Nintendo doing Pokemon Go.
Exactly.
Because Pokemon is only on Nintendo systems.
Exactly. So it just brings the light back to Nintendo, which, you know, I love. I want everyone to be on Nintendo. I want everyone to get a Switch, you know?
You're a believer, David.
I'm a believer.
Paul's not quite a believer.
I don't know what he is. He is the Pokemon expert here, even though he's
which
not
is
a
really
Nintendo
sad,
believer.
Because I've played two Pokemon games. But
I played one and a half.
Guys, I caught a Snorlax twice.
See, we know. We all
got
know
my first Articuno.
Where's
today?
Quinn when you need him?
I do wonder what Quinn would think about all of this. But.
Honestly, that's the first thing I thought. I was like, oh man, I can't wait to listen to the Nintendo believers and see what Quinn has to say about this
We're
game.
So sorry.
Quinn didn't post anything. It's all his fault.
Oh yeah, but So would we play this game? Would you play?
I'm gonna get it.
You're gonna get it. I'm debating it. I feel like if everyone around me is getting it, if everyone has it around me and everyone's having a great time, I think I'll jump in. But I don't know. I guess I always look at, like, try to wait for the reviews and a lot of games to
not,
see if
I'm not gonna lie, it's another game that pushes me one step closer to buying a Switch.
Really? Wow.
I've been putting it off for, I mean, it's not a small investment to buy a Switch or to buy the growing library of games I'm going to want to play on the Switch.
Well, that's the cool thing.
There's I have two growing. Games currently.
And so,
so sad.
At this point in time, it's one of those, especially I just bought a PS4 this last year.
And you have a lot of games to play on that.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple more games that I specifically bought it for that haven't come out yet that I'm really excited for. Right. So it's, if I had more disposable income, it would be a no-brainer. But every time a new game like this is coming out, especially when they're talking about it on this podcast, it's like, man, why don't I have a Switch?
I do. Every time I listen to Nintendo Believers, I'm like, man, oh, I want to get that game too. That sounds awesome.
Well, you know what? I'm glad to hear that you got it, that it works. Because
there's two people in the world who like love Nintendo Believers.
Because
hopefully you do too.
Because I'm like usually, just, I'm not thinking about the fact that I'm talking to a whole bunch of other people. I'm just trying to convince Quinn and Chase why they should play Stardew Valley. And then
I'm like, I need to get Stardew Valley.
I'm a huge
I'm waiting for the physical copy to come out now.
Yeah. I'll just buy a physical copy and not have a Switch. I know I can play on my PS4, but why would you do that when you could just have the Switch case to look at?
Oh, man. Well, it's good to know that Nintendo Believers has fans. If anyone else wants to be on the
fans or family.
Yeah, just make sure that you're family with one of the brothers of the
You don't have Nintendo to be. Believers. We'd appreciate you even if you're not family. I feel like it kind of makes you family if you're listening to Nintendo Believers.
You are our family, and we appreciate
it. But not
you.
Really.
So
online community family, not like you're not invited to Megan's open house. Congratulations to Megan.
Congratulations to graduation of Megan. Okay, we're going to go. We got to kind of go off track there. But we're going to go into a rumor that was also as far back as the online news. And it was Star Fox Grand Prix. There was a Reddit post saying that Retro Studio, which is the people that made a lot of the Metroid Prime games and Donkey Kong Country, Tropical Freeze, and Returns, they're working on a spinoff based on an existing Nintendo IP, which is Star Fox, and is actually a racing game. Something like Diddy Kong Racing mixed with F-Zero, essentially, but more like F-Zero gameplay. It will have a venture mode and of some kind, and think Diddy Kong Racing. There will be some boss fights and a hub world like it, too. Do you feel like this could actually happen? Like, we don't know if this is legitimate, but...
Here's my first question for you, David.
Okay.
Is this all Star Fox world? Are we mixing in triple D? You have a Diddy Kong Racing character. All of a sudden, you have Diddy Kong flying in next to a barrel roll, Diddy.
Okay, no, I do believe that this is just in the Star Fox world. We don't know if they're going to integrate F-Zero people. I do not imagine they're going to bring in Diddy Kong people, like or the Donkey Kong people or the retro people that they put in Diddy Kong Racing. But so I think this is just the Star Fox world. But yeah. But do you, so I got that out of the way. Do you guys feel like this could be legitimate?
Yeah, I do. But the thing is, Nintendo already has a top tier racing game in Mario Kart that it has to distinguish itself. And if you go back to your Nintendo 64 days, you have Mario Kart, you have Diddy Kong Racing.
Right.
They're very different games. If you can distinguish yourself enough between those two games, I think it could be successful.
Yeah.
But it has you have to actually market it really well. And right. You have to show why it's different and why it's actually still good. Because right. Mario Kart has such good... They've done so many good things with the Mario Kart games that it's like, what are you going to do to like... make it so different from the Mario Kart games that you're not just doing another Mario Kart with different characters.
Right. Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
It's definitely possible, but this game has no draw for me. This game was not made for me. I'm not a big Star Fox games fan, even though I do main him in Smash Bros. But that's a different story. I've played 64 Star Fox. Star Fox 64 is probably the one I played the most. I know a lot of people had backlash over the most recent Star Fox game on the Wii U.
Yeah.
Some people loved it, but I'm not drawn into the world of Star Fox.
Yeah.
And it's not, for me, it's not a game that is like, oh crap, that's announced. I really need to get a Switch now. It's more of a, meh, if I had a Switch and I found this at a garage sale for $15, I might drop my offer him 10.
My offer him 10. Yeah, I do feel you. I've actually, I'm not a huge fan of the Star Fox, like series, but I love the characters, like, in Smash. Like, I think that they're really cool, and I mean, there's just so much that of that world that I wish could be fleshed out, and then, like, I wish that they actually would go in, like, to a lot, some of the story, and because, I don't know, it's just like, you know, Falco Lombardi is, like, so cool. He's such a cool Smash Bros. Player, or character, and Fox McCloud, you know, like, and you got Peppy, and you got the frog, I forget the, what's this frog's name? I can't remember.
I'm gonna say, you're gonna be mad at me, people. My guess is Hoppy.
I can't, for some reason, I can't. Slippy. Slippy the frog. Not...
Big's a cat in Sonic Heroes.
Froggy. Yes.
That's definitely his name. I'm doubling down. 100% lock in my answer. Final answer.
Slippy the frog. No, they have some pretty fun characters, and I feel like it could be really fun. I'm thinking of a really fast, far, like, F-Zero gameplay. Yeah, I don't know if you guys have ever played an F-Zero game.
I'm terrible.
Like, they're very fast, like, a lot more, like, 200cc, you know, Mario Kart, you know, and that's the slowest version of F-Zero. And, but I feel like that could be cool. It's more of, I feel like they're probably going for more of a, not like a party game like Mario Kart would be doing. It'd be more, I can't think of the word, but hardcore, maybe racing game.
So you think that's the demographic? If this game is legit, that's the demographic.
I feel like they're looking for a story mode racing game. It's what I feel like I'm seeing here. And so, there's going to be a hub world. You can go around, maybe like fight some bosses, maybe find some cool little trinkets here and there. Like, I don't know.
So almost like a current Star Fox game, where it's on... I mean, Star Fox games are typically on rails. You're going through
sure.
it.
Sure, yeah, that's what I'm
saying. And then, instead of the shooting, you're racing other people.
But maybe you can also have shooting in some ways and make it a part of the racing game as well, instead of having, like, items, or maybe your items are that you get a specific gun that you can shoot other people and it, like, slows them down. I don't know. Like, and maybe, I'm sure there will be a battle mode, just like in 64, but the thing about Star Fox 64, it was not fleshed out very well, and you... play it maybe one time and don't want to play it again, but like they could do some cool stuff in that. Have some really awesome what am I trying to think, dog fights in that game as well. But what's something that, and maybe we don't have an answer for it, but what's something that Retro could do to, if this is a legitimate game, to make you really hype for it? Like something that would be okay, like, yes, I'm all in.
A fleshed out upgrade system for your ships or whatever you're flying. We were joking before the podcast about Star Wars Pod Racer for the 64, and I enjoy that game a lot. I think one of the cool things about it is you're upgrading different aspects of your pod racers, and I feel like if you had something along that lines or different challenges that you could do throughout the game to unlock the ability to purchase different parts, that would make your ship or whatever you're racing in more efficient or faster or better handling. Those aspects in games are stuff that hooks me gameplay wise.
Right.
That's not just party game, but like I'm gonna play the single player and sit down and I'm getting better and my equipment's getting better, and that's something that really hooks me to play a game longer.
Right.
And be more interested in
it. No, I would love that for sure. That seems like it would be really cool.
Here's what's gonna, who would get it for me? It's a crossover, and they actually have like Captain Falcon or other characters. Like, if it's just Star Fox, to me, it's just like whatever.
Right.
But if you do something like a crossover, it's something they haven't done before. There hasn't been a Captain Falcon game and or F-Zero game forever.
Right.
And like try to actually revitalize, maybe bring in, like, you could have Samus. Like these characters that kind of fit in that feel, like that kind of more grungy, like dark world kind of
futuristic.
Yeah, these could fit together.
All of a sudden, Olmar pops out. He's driving on a big Pikmin.
That would be really funny.
But really. really, I'm not really interested in this game very much. But if you had crossovers, that would actually make me pique my interest.
That would be mine too. And I could see them doing some kind of DLC where you can play, you know, kind of like Link can play in the Mario world. I can see them doing like Captain Falcon comes into the game or Samus, something like that.
I'm the exact opposite of you guys in this regard. I would want it to be solely Star Fox.
Right. Okay.
I feel like it loses I feel like with having the bosses and the hub is almost like a world building.
Sure.
That they can really flesh out the Star Fox world. Because I think the concept of the world is really cool, but the way it's displayed in a lot of the games is not very fleshed out.
Right.
And so having more crossover stuff makes it more along the lines of a Mario Kart or a Super Smash Bros.
Sure. I see that.
I don't think it would be able to distinguish itself.
Two of the three games that I want to keep playing.
Yeah, but just throwing a cone in, I feel like you're saying it needs to distinguish itself from Mario Kart, and I feel like having it set in a specific universe would do that more justice to, you want to play Mario Kart, or do you want to play futuristic Mario Kart?
Sure. You wouldn't have Mario or those kind of people in it. Because, really, Mario Kart is just the Mario
people,
universe.
And then you have...
Then you have, they, random people.
They have DLC with Link and the Animal Crossing and Splatoon characters. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Pink Gold... Rose Gold Peach? Yes. Pink Gold Peach.
Still Nintendo. Mario. Gosh. But, yeah. Not a good character. But, yeah, so that's what we got for right now. We're going to take a little bit of a break. But we're going to do a secret segment that you guys have been waiting for this whole time. We're excited to do it with you. Alright, and we're back, and we're going to do the segment that you guys all have been waiting for, and the segment...
So much anticipation.
Yeah, so much anticipation. The segment is called, What's Better Than That? Boom. Guys, I know you're excited.
Mic drop.
Mic drop. So, I'm going to go first here. I'm going to ask you guys, and the way this works is I'm going to say a game, or whatever, a topic... hopefully Nintendo, and say what's better than that, and then you guys can say what you think is better and maybe why you think it's better, and then we can kind of have
just throw in a towel and be like, you know what?
Nothing's
that's
better than
the
that.
Best.
Alright, so, first things first. Mario Odyssey. What's better than that?
I'm gonna have a very unpopular opinion here, and I am aware of that. I just played Mario Odyssey recently. It's a fine game. It's a fun game. But it's, to me, it does not have the same level of enjoyment to me as I have in Super Mario Sunshine. And I know that is typically one of the more hated 3D Mario games, especially by the quote-unquote hardcore 3D Mario community, which is kind of feels like an oxymoron right there. But I feel like Sunshine does a significantly better job immersing you into the world of the game. You have, you know, Isle Delfino, and each of the different worlds that you go are different parts of the island that you're going around and exploring. And I really appreciate that immersion that having that consistency gives you. It's really fun in an Odyssey to... you know, jump on Cappy, and there's certain parts with Cappy I think has improvements, and there's certain parts of the game that are improvements. But with Odyssey, where you're jumping around all over the world, there's not a really consistent feel throughout the whole game.
Right.
You're kind of globetrotting, which, I mean, it works thematically, but I just was never as invested or connected to the worlds of Mario Odyssey the way that I was just completely enthralled with everything in Super Mario Sunshine. I feel like a lot of those aspects really carry that game for me and make it more enjoyable. And I think that Super Mario Sunshine is better than Super Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where you're coming from there, but how I'd probably say I don't necessarily agree is I felt going into each individual world, I felt they were better than the individual worlds in Sunshine, just because there's only usually six stars in the Sunshine worlds, where I was like, you can just, I felt so immersed. I'm thinking about like the desert, I can't think of the name of it right now, Tostarina, like going into that place, I felt so immersed into that world. Like there's a village of people there. Like I fell in love with that world, and each one I went to, it was like I fell in love with a new place, and there's always something new to find. There's actually, you actually have things that you like, story that you can go further in, but to just fall in love with the different worlds that were there and have this unique like traveling around this world. I understand what you're saying. It's not like Sunshine, it does have the same theme, but I fell in love with each individual world more than I did with the whole theme of Sunshine. That's my thing. What about you, Brad? What's better than that?
What's better than Odyssey? So, the only 3D Mario that I see even compares is, to me, again, is Sunshine. And I think that's because I just love Flood. I just love Flood as a character and as a tool for Mario. There are definitely cool things you can do with Cappy. I don't really like the capture mechanic that much, but like the traversing with Cappy is really cool. But I don't know, there's something about Flood that I just love. And so in very particular, I think that the tool of Flood I like better than the tool of Cappy as characters.
Okay, totally can see that.
All right, I got one.
Okay.
So this is about controllers. Everybody can have opinions about their controllers, but the Nintendo GameCube controller, what's better than that?
I'm going to shy away from Nintendo on this one because I think that the PlayStation 4 controller just feels so perfect in my hands. It's just so responsive. Everything feels so smooth. And the button presses, I feel, they just feel better to me than the GameCube controller.
Yeah, I feel that I agree to the extent where Paul's coming from, where I think that it fits perfectly in my hands. I do have very big hands. Like we did see that one time when we were Quinn and Chase, and we all held different controllers, and Quinn's hands just did not fit around the PS4 controllers. It makes perfect sense why you would hate the PS4 controller.
Got some small hands.
But like, and that's where it's hard for us, because or me and you, Paul, like, I mean, I think Brad has, yeah, pretty much the same hands. We all have the same size hands. But, like, because we all have big hands to fit around a controller, I do love the GameCube controller. The only thing that I don't like about it is that, like, the C-stick is, I like it for Smash, but when I hold a Switch controller, like, it, like, it's worth, because I
Pro
love...
Pro controller?
Or Switch Pro controller, yeah. Like, I do love, like, the Xbox 360, you know, like, the different, what do you call it? The diagonal joysticks. I feel like that fits my hands a little better, and you're always on the actual buttons, and then you can switch down. You know, like, for the PS4 controller, I don't like it that you have to have both your thumbs down, and then, like, it's just, I don't know. I would rather have, if I was to be playing, like, a first-person shooter, or something like that, to just move my hands in diagonal like the Switch Pro controller. So I'd probably say that the Switch Pro controller is my favorite, and I feel like that fits in my hands, and it has a weight to it to make it feel like there's something there. It just feels perfect for me.
But I will give the GameCube controller the most creative controller that's still functional.
Yes.
Yeah. Is the reason that I think the GameCube controller is up there, I love the way that everything is positioned around the A button. So A is like center, and then B, X, and Y are two, three different directions from the A button. Whereas in both the Switch and the PlayStation 4, they're each in different corners, so there's not like a center button to keep your finger always near. Usually you stay near X, but then like there's a lot longer distance to go to the triangle button, and the square and circle are pretty similar to like X and Y, but then you have the circle or the triangle button, which is so much farther away from the X button. Same thing with the Switch controller. You still have X and Y, A, B, but A is like in that same position as...
Yeah, they copied more of the Xbox PlayStation style controller and went away from their unique setup on the GameCube.
So.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, that's what we got. If you guys got any questions for us, we'd love to do some question blocks in the future. We haven't gotten a whole lot in the last couple of weeks, so we haven't been able to do a question block. Send them over to NintendoBelievers@gmail.com. Or to our YouTube channel or our page. You just do in the comments below. Actually, we're probably not going to have a video version of this, so maybe just go over to YouTube and give us a nice little comment on a random video. Yeah, that's all we have. You guys have anything else to say? Maybe a good old goodbye?
Well, dude, I'm a Nintendo believer, and I just want to say that here at the end of this podcast.
Keep your games close and your families closer.
See you guys.
Bye.